Hey guys, this is Kenan Thompson. I have a problem with you. Yes, you. None of y'all told me that Auto Trader has millions of new and used cars that I can shop from home. I thought we were friends. I put smiles on your face, but I'm not smiling. No one told me that with Auto Trader, a dealer can deliver cars to my home or that I could shop by price on Auto Trader. No one. Consider this friendship that you just learned we had officially over. Finally, it's easy. Auto Trader.
What's up, everybody? Nick Costos here. College basketball is about to get crazy, and BetQL makes it easier than ever to cash your bets. BetQL analyzes every single tournament matchup so you can succeed with your bracket pools and individual game bets. Which teams will pull off an upset? Who's going to cover the spread? BetQL handles all the hard work so you can win more consistently. Head to BetQL.com today to start your 3-day free trial. That's BetQL.com. BetQL.com today to start your 3-day free trial.
I have a bit of a dilemma. I need someone to help me with my dilemma. It actually is a Star Wars dilemma. And no, it's not about whether or not I should watch this weekend. There's too much basketball this weekend. If I start watching, I can't stop. Really, not very often. I have a hard time. Here's what's happening this weekend. Taxes. It's tax weekend. Because when we get to the point at which taxes are actually due, I think this year, tax day is April 18th. It's a Tuesday. Don't ask me why it's not the Monday, but it's a Tuesday following tax day, which is the 15th, but falls on a weekend. And so that's why it's been pushed to the 18th. So I can't wait till the last second. And I've tried in recent years to move up my own tax day because I don't want to wait till the last second. April is a really busy month between 5 or 6 birthdays. This year I've got my Syracuse course beginning in April. It's Easter early in April. Actually happens to be Easter, my birthday weekend. And it's also the time when I will be taking a vacation. It's not a real long vacation, but it's still some time away. I cannot wait until the last second to do my taxes. Plus, you know, I'm trying to not be a procrastinator to the nth degree in every little area of my life. I am in most areas trying not to be in every area. So this weekend is taxes because I have to be posted up in front of the TV anyway for basketball. So once basketball starts on Friday, Saturday, even Sunday after church, I will be, not moving from the living room, but I will also have my taxes in front of me because unlike many of you gentlemen out there, we women can multitask fairly well. I know that's such a stereotype, but it's fun. Most men stink at multitasking. They can't have a conversation and do anything else at the same time. They can't have a conversation and watch sports. Or maybe they can, but they choose not to. So that's not my dilemma. My dilemma is not about Star Wars weekend, but Jay, are you ready? I need some advice from a male. You are a male. You'll have to do.
All right.
I'm just kidding. You're also a good friend. So here's my dilemma. The guy that I had the date with, he's not going to be named just because that's not fair to the poor guy. We'll just call him Bob.
Okay, Bob works.
All right, so Bob kind of likes Star Wars, but isn't a Star Wars nerd like me. Now, I have, maybe this is a mistake, but I've indicated that the depths of my Star Wars fandom. Bob likes to send me Star Wars memes, like jokes. Okay. I mean, all right. Some of them are funny. Some of them not so much. I feel as though I need to underscore to him at some point that, you know, Star Wars is not necessarily a laughing matter to me. I'm going to need you to be a little more serious about your Star Wars or about my Star Wars and recognize that it's a thing. It could be a deal breaker.
So what? Is he sending memes like making fun of it? Or?
Well, just goofy memes, jokey memes, you know, memes.
Not like actual serious, like, because when we talk about Star Wars, it's like,
how dare you joke about Yoda?
Right. I mean, there's like serious stuff that needs to be discussed. And
right. Or maybe I should pretend like it's not a big deal because, you know, my nerdiness over Star Wars can be intense. So maybe I shouldn't scare him off this early.
How into it is he? Like, scale of 1 to 10, what are we looking at?
Well, as best I can gauge.
Yeah, to the best of your knowledge.
He likes the OGs, the originals.
Okay.
But beyond that, doesn't really have much invested in the Star Wars universe. So, and get this. I told him about how my brother and I, this very sacred story, about how my brother and I used to set up our basements as a Star Wars universe and play with all our figurines and our X-Wing fighters and our Y-Wing fighter and our Tauntauns on the planet Hoth.
Of course.
He laughed.
Oh. So he didn't do that, I guess.
No, he didn't. Yeah, apparently he thought that was funny. I mean, that's sacred space.
Yeah, that's like wasn't a laughing
Bob,
matter.
Got to be careful here, Bob. This could be. I'm just saying.
All right, another big question about Bob.
No. Hold on, though. Okay. Hold on. So do I run the risk of scaring the poor man away with the intensity of my Star Wars fervor, or do I just pretend like I'm okay with the jokes and the laughing and the memes at Star Wars expense? I'm not really sure how long I can keep up that facade.
There's got to come a point where if like a meme or a gif or a joke crosses that line, like you can't be making fun of Admiral Akbar.
You cannot be making fun of iconic lines like it's a trap.
Right. That's not going to fly anyway.
No.
So you got to see
that'll
where
get you excommunicated.
It. Right.
At some point.
So you got to see really where it's coming from, I think, where if it's like a place of, like when you said when he laughed at your story, that kind of was a place of ha-ha laughing at you the way I took it. But if it's a gif like kind
I'm gonna
of
I'm going to give
like,
him the benefit of the doubt, and maybe he thought it was cute. And so that's why he was laughing. It seemed more like a laughing at me than it did. I wasn't laughing, so he wasn't laughing with me.
But if he's sending you, like, if the GIFs and the memes, if those are meant to further, like, your both of your combined appreciation of Star Wars.
It's his way to connect with me.
Right.
Maybe Bob's attempting to connect with me over Star Wars.
That's what I'm saying.
But he's in the, I mean, let's just be fair. He's in the kiddie pool. Okay?
Oh, I mean, barely. He's got a toe in.
Also, though, just to point out, when you and I first met, you were in the Star Wars kiddie pool.
Pretty much.
And now you have graduated to intermediate swim lessons where I let you every now and then be part of, you know, having to actually swim for it, not just walking along in the kiddie pool.
Yeah, I think I was like kiddie pool, like close, getting ready for the shallow end. And now I'm like standing
you
at
no
the end of the diving
board. You no longer have swimmies.
No.
What are those called?
Floaties, I think.
Floaties.
Which are banned actually at most pools.
Why?
Because they're really dangerous. I used to be a lifeguard. They
Why
could not
are they
use
dangerous?
Those. Because if they you put them on like your infant and they can't really like control. So a lot of parents will put them on their infant, leave them in the pool thinking they're totally safe, but the baby could like flip forward and then can't get itself back up. But you're not looking at it because
there
you
should
think
be
it's
no
safe.
Excuse for ever leaving your baby where you're not watching him or her in the water.
That is the reason. Yeah. So they're banned in a lot of pools now.
Interesting. Okay. Anyway, that was the tangent. So you are no longer in the kiddie pool, but coming from a Star Wars, I'll call you a newer aficionado who was in the kiddie pool not that long ago. What do I do?
Do you think he can get there? Like, does he?
Oh,
look,
yes. Yep. Smart guy.
He's moldable.
Bob is a. Let's hope Bob is not listening. Bob is a smart guy. So I feel as though we could bond over this, but I need him to understand that Yoda is a serious matter. Okay. Do or do not. There is no try. When 900 years old you reach, look as good you will not. What if I drop one of those lines on him? He has no idea what I'm talking about.
No, he can't.
Also, do I judge him if he hasn't seen all 9, we'll say 10 movies if we include Rogue One? Jay fell asleep during Rogue One. I just want to point that out.
Inaccurate.
And we're still... Are you lying right now?
I did not fall asleep.
OMG. Yes, you did. You fell asleep. I saw you, and then you try to pretend like you didn't. Anyway, I have forgiven producer Jay for falling asleep during Rogue One, is all I'm saying. So my point is, if I can have a little grace for you as I'm shoving you into the deep end for Star Wars, or maybe I should warn him what he's getting into. The fact is, it's going to rub off on him, like it or not.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the big question is, has he seen the prequels? That's where it's
got to start. That's the big question?
That's got to be next. Because you said
you
he likes the originals. So,
but I don't even like number 2.
Number 2 is terrible.
Hayden Christensen is a simp.
Yeah, number 2 stinks. There's no, it's the worst one. It's not even close. It's not even a good movie.
What if he hasn't seen any of the animated stuff?
I doubt he has.
Oh, probably.
That's like next
right.
level, right? But that's what I'm saying.
It is next level.
You got to get to the prequels first, because that's like a whole other universe and world and timeline of Star Wars that like, you can study on its own.
So should I try to keep my Star Wars fandom under wraps until I know him a little better?
I would show him
until
Phantom
I trust
Menace
him a little
and
more.
Give and let him give his reaction to it.
And then I judge him based on that.
And then you judge him based on that.
I mean, that's really mean, actually.
that's the only way. It's the only way I could see it.
Oh, no. Here's the thing. He likes a bunch of music that I don't like. I'm not judging him over that. So I suppose you should know earlier rather than later that if you get me, you get Star Wars Universe. That's just how it goes. It's a done deal. We're a package deal. You don't get me without Star Wars.
I think it is definitely a green flag. A green flag.
A green flag?
Green
that he
flag.
Sends me memes about Yoda?
I do. Because he's trying.
He's
that's
trying.
Good. It's connecting.
Right.
It's trying.
Thanks,
it's on your interest.
Again,
so.
Let's just hope Bob is skipping this portion of the show.
He should be taking notes.
I need him to figure this out on his own.
That's true. That's a good point.
So I don't want him to drown in the deep end, but I do want him to recognize that it's important.
Don't push him in.
Don't push him in.
Don't push him in.
When he's not looking.
Yeah, don't push
don't
him
trip
in.
Him and shove him into the
right.
face first into the deep end.
It's tempting.
Yeah, no, but, it's not. I don't want him to drown.
Exactly.
So therein lies the question. All right. Again, could we potentially lose this from the podcast just so no one else hears it?
Yeah, our hour three will just be like 30
gone,
minutes.
Gone, right. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. I mean, there is a time and a place for a good Star Wars meme, but just be careful about Yoda. Just be careful. on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It's been a day for your brackets, and Friday will likely be more of the same ever since the transfer portal. This is what happens. You've got the talent spread out, a wealth of talent, and it's spread out around the country. So I hope that you were considering those double-figure seeds. Also, producer Jay, he tried to pretend like he submitted his bracket, and that's it. It's locked in, except he keeps telling me he can change it if I want him to. I'm not asking how that's possible because I don't want to know, but I trust you, producer Jay. No screwing with the brackets. Got it?
I got it. You just, yeah.
I outed you.
I wasn't going to do it, but it was.
Okay. You have mentioned your executive powers more than once.
With great power comes great responsibility.
True. I don't think I trust you with any responsibility, really. I trusted you with the candy, and look what happened.
Well, on Survivor Island, I was out like week two, so.
Did you even make it to week two?
But
it's my fault, though. Wasn't it my fault? Because we were going back and forth between Browns and, was it Browns and?
Bengals, I think, was the other one.
Bengals.
And I think they actually both lost
They
that
both
week,
lost.
So.
Yeah, actually, we would have been out either way. Okay, so here's something else, then. Are you ready? This is how I absolve you of all of the... You actually did me a favor with the candy job. Even though we've lost our candy stash and you were duped by a coworker who... I mean, just... It was like one of those scams that you get on email or a text message. Hey, come add your candy to our stash. And it's not just your candy. Then you have access to all of this other incredible candy. Except somehow... Our candy disappeared and we got no stash that we were able to access. Okay, so it was a really bad mistake on Jay's part. But I want you to know I've had a change of heart. I've reconsidered, and here's what I've come up with. I am inside of 8 weeks, in fact, 7 weeks until my next half marathon. I shouldn't be eating candy anyway, which means you did me a solid. You disposed of the candy.
See.
I don't like the method. I would say the means that you used to get to the end were sketchy. You're sketchy.
Questionable at best.
Your coworker is definitely sketchy. But since I can no longer have candy from now until May 7th, I believe, is the half marathon, I forgive you.
Wow. I mean, thank you. That's very
it's very generous of me.
That's very big of you. Thank you. But I was trying to get candy for you too, though. But
were you?
I was.
Well, that was it. No more candy. I'm done with candy from now. You remember, though, this is not something foreign to you, because this time last year, when I was getting ready to run my first half marathon in 3 years, I begged you to stop bringing candy to work.
And
you did. So I'm begging you, if you care about your job. No, I'm just teasing. If you, I'm teasing. If you care about me as your friend and your coworker, you will stop bringing candy to work. Stop shopping at the gas station and bringing new candy to work every couple days.
I can
then hide it from me.
Right, but I need that.
See,
stuff.
You're not great at that though, because you always want to share the wealth, and so you'll dangle it on the other side of the double pane glass. Like, hey, this is what Jay does. He doesn't actually say anything. He shakes the candy bag back and forth.
Speaks for itself.
On the other side of the glass, so I can see it. No, that's it. I've drawn the line. No more candy. Now I can't quit chocolate over the next 7 weeks. It's my treat when I do training runs. Yep, right now he's shaking his bag of treats, but. No more candy. No more gummies. Got it?
Not even like new ones that just hit the shelf that I find?
Jay, that's not helpful.
All right.
It's not helpful. You're supposed to be supportive.
You got it. No more gummies.
No more candy.
All right, no more candy.
And that includes Easter. Easter's coming up.
Oh, come on.
I'll buy you Easter candy, and then you're just going to take it home. Get rid of it.
I got to get you like a Reese's egg or something. No.
If it's chocolate.
Yeah, Reese's peanut butter cup egg. Chocolate, peanut butter.
You're terrible at this. You know that?
The eggs are like the second
terrible
best form
at being
of Reese's.
Supportive. No, you're terrible at being supportive. How about this is Jay's idea of training, though. He told me last year that he could probably get ready for a half marathon in 2 weeks.
I took that back immediately.
You rescinded the statement
immediately.
But he did say that. It did come out of his mouth.
Yeah, that happened.
Not the way he eats. Maybe if we get you in the vat of broccoli and you start eating healthy, potentially. Yep. When was the last time you ran more than 400 yards? When was the last time you ran 400 yards?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question as well.
All at once.
Like in a sprint? In a dash?
Have you ever had to chase Moose down the street?
No, he doesn't run.
He doesn't really run. You and Moose, you're going the same way.
I bike a little bit.
When?
Last summer. It's getting warm again.
It's going to be 58 on Friday and Saturday, actually. So you can definitely get out there and bike if you need to.
But
do we have a pact? No more candy.
Except for an Easter exception, yes.
It has to be chocolate.
Fine.
No more candy. Phew. See, I let you off the hook. You lost our candy stash, but as it turns out, you were doing it in support of my training.
That's really what I was going for.
Mm-hmm. Once again, kick, save, and a beauty. Okay, coming up, Penn State with one of its players on fire. Fire. I can't do any more Beavis and Butthead. That's it. That's all I got.
Good.
Thank you. And also, we had a struggle for one top seed in its quest to move on to the second round. You can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS. I know I'm so mean to Jay. You can also find our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Cross-court pass caught by Funk. Overplay, didn't get the ball. He fires and scores. I mean, that is just fish in a barrel for Funk.
It's like shooting layups right now from 25 feet for Andrew Funk. You go through that passing lane, if you're Garcia, you better get it.
Offensive foul, Texas A&M. And this ball of yarn in Aggie maroon is unspooling down the stairs of the NCAA tournament.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
All hail Andrew Funk. What a performance for the sharpshooter from Penn State and a big victory for the Nittany Lions. In fact, it's their first. This is awesome. They're a Big Five school or a Power Five school, but more often known for their football. Their first NCAA tournament win since 2001. 22 years of futility. But because they go 13 of 22 from beyond the arc, and because Andrew Funk hits 8 triples in this one, they end a lengthy drought.
Honestly, it means a lot, and it probably means more than people think because I've only been here for 1 year, but like, obviously I went to Bucknell, and Penn State has had a big big-time Philly pipeline going for a long time. And, you know, I used to play against guys like Tone Carr and Lamar Stevens and Azir Bostic. So although I wasn't a direct fan of the team and of the program, like I watched a lot of those guys. And so to be able to come here and do this, you know, with this group of guys, it's really special. And, you know, I'm really happy to be doing it alongside the group of guys that we have.
We really prepared for a few days in a row just because I knew how good this team was in Texas A&M. The run that they've been on for, you know, we've played well for 10 straight games, 11 games. Like, they've played well for like 20 in a row. And their guards are fantastic. They rebound like crazy. So we knew how good they were. And I thought our attention to detail on defense and offense was really good. And that's the benefit of having an older group of guys that can execute a scouting report on offense and defense.
It is one of the benefits of having an experienced roster. And in this case, and often with mid-majors who field seniors and juniors, that's how they survive. That's how they get to the point where they can be a participant in March Madness, because they've got older guys. We're not talking about as many one-and-dones in the mid-major pool. And so here is Penn State. They've got a group of guys that have stayed together. They played together. Now, they've added pieces as well, like Funk. But 27 points for him, and boy, did they shoot the lights out. Some of his shots were coming from Steph Curry range, if you will. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Jason Benetti with that call on the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network. All of the calls we use on After Hours come from Westwood One. The way that they shot, and it's not just Funk who was able to maintain a high field goal percentage, but 48% from the field to just 34% by Texas A&M. So in every offensive category, they were so much better than A&M. A&M really struggled to find and keep a rhythm. You had Penn State that was passing the ball around, that was sharing the rock, and below 10 turnovers as well, which is a huge deal. I wouldn't say it's a massive upset, because they were playing really good basketball. They lost to Purdue in the Big Ten Championship, and so we know they were on a hot streak. But considering that they were picked to finish last or toward the bottom of the Big Ten, they've been quite a revelation and a surprise this season. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Oh, producer Jay tells me we got a comment from Buzz Williams, the Texas A&M coach, who has seen what the Nittany Lions are capable of now up close and personal.
They won 4 out of 5 to close down the regular season, playing at a really high level. And I would say that tonight, don't want to speak for coach, I would say tonight was the best they've played in that 10-game stretch.
Nice compliment and also good recognition by Buzz for Micah Shrewsbury, who led Penn State. Now, I've been mentioning some of the one seeds. Alabama, Kansas, 96 points, cruising. Duke has no trouble. We talked about them over Oral Roberts. They start out hot. They stay hot. I think they've won 10 in a row now. So the Blue Devils are peaking at the right time. Houston, though, is dealing with some injury issues. And this was much more of a game that was in doubt until the late stages.
Gives it up top to Sharp. He'll take another three. He got it again. Welcome to the party, Emmanuel Sharp. Houston, largest lead, 47-38, 10:47 remaining in the game. Jamal Shedd, obviously, as Steven has pointed out, a little bit of pain, something in the lower extremities bothering him, but he drives down the lane here, hangs in the air and scores it, and Houston is up 10, their largest lead. Fadeaway 18, footer on net. What a shot. He limps back. He's been injured this game, but he's playing with that injury, and his team's up 9.
That was a pro move on the fade. Off of the spin, beautiful shot by Shedd.
Once again, on the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network, Jamal Shedd, bothered by a sore knee, but he managed to hang tough, and he played 36 minutes, had 13 points and 6 assists. The major concern here, and Jay, I'm not sure if there's anything from Kelvin Sampson about Marcus Sasser, but their All-American actually ended up getting pulled early, watched from the bench the end of this game. And so even though Northern Kentucky, the Norse of Northern Kentucky, only trailed by 3 at the half, and this was a tie game past the initial media timeout in the second half, Houston was ultimately able to pull away, and they play such tough defense that is it's a major advantage for them when the games turn ugly, right? So Houston wants to make you play ugly basketball. But as the games get tougher and the opponents get more physical, more explosive, even healthier, to not have your top scorer, Sasser, and the first member of the AP All-American first team for Houston going back to the 80s, this is a big deal. He's dealing with a groin injury. He was a game time decision and did play a little bit, but was not out there at the end, even as this game was hanging in the balance. So manages just 14 minutes and only 5 points. And so that maybe the idea is rest him. If we can get through this first game without him, he'll have two more days to rest and to recover and to get rehab and treatment. But it was a scuffle for Houston. As I say, the defense, a big deal, holding the Norris to 19 of 69 from the floor, meaning under 28%. And it was a relatively clean game, too, with not a lot of free throws, just tough and physical. And Houston excels in those areas. But as I say, you go deeper in this tournament and you need all hands on deck. And they definitely will need Marcus Sasser. So we'll see. It wasn't as easy. Well, easy. It wasn't as smooth, and it did not come as easily for Houston as it did for Kansas and for Alabama. I know that in the case of Arizona and also Virginia, though I would say Arizona even more so, people are freaking out, right? Because that is a definite bracket buster. I actually have been a little intimidated and have decided not to look how far ahead Arizona going. So I filled up my brackets at the last second. I did have Furman in both the family bracket and the after hours bracket challenge. And we're not even through this first round yet. So we still have Friday's games before we are down to the round of 32, but I've chosen Jay since Jay and I have a wager, and just in general, it's about bragging rights and how often, if your bracket looks completely blown up, do people associate your knowledge with your brackets, which is dumb.
Ridiculous.
This is why I don't make predictions, but in this particular case, I choose to have fun and participate, but I don't want to not enjoy the rest of the first round. So I've decided I'll wait and see what the damage looks like when Friday's games are over.
I don't know if I can.
So
do
glad
that.
We did not bet candy. Oh, have you already looked?
I looked, yeah.
Oh, how are you doing? You remember? I don't remember.
Yeah.
I was too tired.
I did okay. I didn't have a great first day, but I'm not out. I'm not crushed. So
did you have Furman?
I did not. I really should have, but I didn't. I thought about it. I didn't do it.
Did you pick Drake?
No. I picked Miami.
No, you'd pick Miami.
Yeah.
That was a tough one, but because we've talked to both coaches. So Jim Larrañaga, I'm doing it the way that he told me to now, along with Darren DeVries. So the thing about Drake is they're not a typical 12 seed. They've got a player of the year candidate. Tucker DeVries could have played in a lot of Power 5 programs. Instead, he chose to play for his dad. And again, with the transfer portal now, there's a wealth of talent that is spread around the country from the mid-major level on up. So I don't know how my bracket looks. I would say I'm probably under 50%. If I had to guess, I think I'm under 50%.
As long as your champion and your runner-up are still in it after the first 2 days.
Do you care to reveal who your champion and your runner-up are, or at least who your matchup is in the championship game?
I have Alabama versus Gonzaga.
Do you?
I do.
You're going with Gonzaga. I'm impressed.
Yep. This is the year.
Okay. I like it. I would be so happy for Mark Few and the Gonzaga Bulldogs because they have come so close and been denied.
I think Drew Timmy has a Kemba Walker-ish performance from when UConn won their tournament. What was that, 2012 or something like that?
Yeah, it was pretty amazing to see Kemba the way that he took over. And it went back to the conference tournament for UConn even before that. Now, they obviously play different positions. But you never know. Drew Timmy, because of how he can dominate really at so many different levels and stages and phases of the game. I like it. I like the boldness. So you're picking Gonzaga to win over.
Yeah, I am.
Who?
Alabama. Yeah. Who also looked really good.
I have neither of those teams in my championship game. I might have one of them in my final four. Alabama did look good. I actually, this is weird, and I didn't love it, so I went back and changed it. I initially had Baylor and Kansas, and then I didn't love the fact that I had two Big 12 teams in the final. Mm-hmm. So I actually think I went back and changed it to Baylor and Houston. And then I was like, wait a minute, I don't like that either. That's two Texas teams.
See?
Plus the Final Four is in Houston. So I didn't love that. I think I did end up with Baylor, though, in the championship game from the left side of the bracket. So the South versus the East. I went back and forth on Bama. I don't really love anybody else out of the Bama region. So Bama's kind of where I'm at with that. I do like Marquette, though. And so I think I had Marquette in one of my brackets going at least to the Elite Eight. And then I don't love picking all one seeds. It's rare. It's boring and it's rare. I'd prefer to pick upsets. But ultimately, here's what's happening. And it will continue to happen. If you pick a ton of upsets and we see a ton of upsets in the early rounds, you're more likely to get back to chalk for the later rounds, at least in some of the regions. So, yes, I did end up with at least a one seed in my championship game, but I'm pretty sure that I have good confidence in Baylor. So I went with Baylor. I believe, let's see, for both of my brackets, I think I went with Baylor. I learned my lesson this year, and I did not pick Michigan State every single year. Do you know I've picked them to win the championship multiple times, and they've been out in the first or second round?
I feel like that's a very common thing for a lot of people with them.
Yeah, how many people picked Arizona, though, and saw them lose to Princeton?
See, that stinks, and then now you're March
Madness. It
doesn't
stink for Princeton.
No, but I'm saying if you're playing like a bracket and you picked Arizona to win, then now what, you know?
Now you applaud the Princeton Tigers, and you hope they run the table.
They're not going to give you any money.
We're not betting for money.
They even give their athletes money.
Oh, well, true. Unless, I don't know, does the NIL operate in the Ivy League?
I don't know. That's a good question.
All right, coming up, we'll get back to college basketball, top of the hour. But straight ahead, Jalen Ramsey tells you why he picked, well, he didn't pick Miami, but why he's thrilled to be back in Florida as a member of the Dolphins. Also, we didn't have a chance to talk about this on our last show, but Ezekiel Elliott is now a free agent. Zeke, I didn't see that coming. Well, maybe a year ago, you wouldn't have thought this was the case, but Tony Pollard has made Zeke expendable, even as Pollard gets franchise tagged by the Dallas Cowboys. How much money will it require to bring Zeke on board? That's a challenge, too. Dak Prescott weighing in on the release of his backfield mate. What I consider to be a quarterback signing worth paying attention to. Although, if this guy's starting, his team is in a world of hurt again. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Attention, sports fans. Your favorite sportsbook, BetUS.com, is back for our 29th year of football action. With the industry's biggest sign-up bonus of up to 200%, BetUS offers our members the opportunity to cash in on all your favorite leagues, including NFL, NBA, MLB, and more. We've also got hundreds of new casino games, including the coolest slots, and our live dealers are waiting for you at the table. Sign up at BetUS.com or call 1-800-79-BETUS and get into the action. BetUS, where the game begins.
In the gun, Prescott, snap back, handoff, Elliott driving, pushing, touchdown! Ezekiel Elliott, head for the kettle! No, fakes the kettle, says, I'm not getting the fine, I'm just taking the touchdown.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
When the Dallas Cowboys were excelling last year on offense, I mean, certainly they wanted to spread the ball around, Dak Prescott taking care of the football, but they didn't have a great receiving core. They did not. What they did best was use the versatility of their tandem backfield, Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard, and the offensive line, and they were able to show a variety of looks out of the backfield and two very different bodies and strengths between Pollard and Zeke. But Zeke is expensive, and now the Cowboys have seen what Tony Pollard can do. And here's what I love about Pollard. he takes every opportunity and treats it like it's the only one he's ever going to have. It, like, he uses every opportunity with a sense of urgency, and the wrinkle that he gave the Dallas Cowboys offense was incredible. So Zeke, because of his expense and because of Tony Pollard, who's now received the franchise tag, he is expendable and is actually a free agent, cut courtesy of the Dallas Cowboys. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, the voice of Brad Sham on the Cowboys Radio Network, one of our favorite voices here. And so Zeke, two things here. Zeke is looking for a new home, and there certainly are teams out there that could use a running back. The issue, of course, is the money. He's been very well paid. He was very well paid with his most recent extension. He's still got 4 years left on what is a six-year deal worth $90 million. And there were a lot of people that thought it was a bad move by Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys to give a running back that kind of money and to invest that kind of a, well, that kind of capital, but that much of your salary cap into a running back. But last year, the wheels came off, and it became apparent, very obvious, that they had to figure out a way to better allocate their funds. Here are just some of the numbers. He finished last in the NFL in yards per carry, so under 4 yards per carry. He also finished last in the NFL. I didn't even know anyone kept track of this, but I came across it in my research. In the percentage of his runs that went for 10-plus yards, meaning he wasn't breaking as many tackles, he wasn't getting downfield, he wasn't creating more yards for himself. Where how often do we see Tony Pollard just refuse to go down? And not necessarily because of his strength or because of he's dragging people, but just his ability to kind of elude and evade and make the most, as I say, of his opportunities. 7.4% of Zeke's runs went for 10-plus yards. Again, that's last in the NFL. And so the Cowboys are getting more than $10 million in cap relief because of this. They do still have some dead money, but the impact is sizably smaller. There was no guaranteed money left on his deal, so they're able to get out from under the rest of his contract. Where does he go from here? Well, he'll have options, but they won't be options that pay him nearly as much money. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I just want to apologize because the audio from Dak and also Troy Aikman is muted. They're in a place where there's a lot of other voices and there's background noise. But here's Dak on the release of Zeke from Amy. Here's Dak on the release of Zeke, period.
It's tough. A brother, playing the game with a brother, being able to start this NFL career and share so many memories and grow up as men throughout this organization. I really can't imagine taking the field without him. Something I don't know if it's completely hit me yet. Obviously, I've talked to him. I'm hurt. I'm sure he is, but it's more importantly for me just to be able to support him. I know he's got more opportunities coming his way, and love that guy, proud of him. Number one supporter in here for him no matter what.
Obviously, there have been injuries that have kept Dak and Zeke from being a tandem the entire time that they were together in Dallas, but they were selected in the same draft. So Zeke was the first round pick by the Cowboys, number 4 overall. Prescott, if you remember, was a 4th round pick, but they were both starting immediately. Dak started as a rookie because of injuries to Tony Romo, and they've kind of been together in the Cowboys offense. And so they were able to lead, even as rookies, able to lead the Cowboys to double figure wins, 12-13 wins their rookie year. And it's just another change for Dak now. There's a lot of changes that are taking place. So I hope you can hear his comments from this event for the Children's Cancer Fund. He actually chairs that event with with Troy Aikman. And so Troy was also weighing in about Zeke and his impact in Dallas and how you fill that void.
I remember when he came in as a rookie and all the expectations of what he might do. I'm a big fan of Zeke's, and I think that regardless of whatever anyone's opinion is of him as far as what he was able to do as a running back, I, I think they're going to really miss one of their real core players in that locker room. And I always felt when I was playing that there are guys that you just don't replace, and they have a big impact regardless of whatever they're doing on the field with the continuity and the success of a football team. And I really believe that Zeke is one of those guys. And I'm not alone. I think the Cowboys understand that as well. I think that's what made this decision so gut-wrenching.
Yeah, Jerry Jones is pretty loyal. He doesn't like to get rid of people. But because of the money they were able to save under the cap and just because of how much money he was making, ill-advised deal at the time because running backs see the wear and tear tend to mount and be compounded. And because now, even at 27 years old, there's just been a lot of mileage for Zeke. He had a 1,000-yard season in 2021, but we've seen his impact get negated by injuries and also by just other factors and other people around him. And so now you think about the Dallas Cowboys and Dak specifically in the offense and everything that's changed around him. So no more Zeke, no more Kellen Moore, who was their OC but is now with the Chargers. They've got other coaches that have changed on that staff as well. And Mike McCarthy, I read this, there's just a handful of guys, I think 10 guys, who are still on the roster from before he got hired. And so, yeah, change is one way that you get closer to your goals, but it's also really difficult because you lose people that you care about. But the Cowboys want to build on what they did last year, which was finally winning a playoff game on the road and also getting to the divisional round.
Having all those guys, I said, departure, so many close friends, good teammates, and not win a championship, and the urgency was there. But then now, as that's turned over, realizing that, hey, you might blink and my career may be over with, you know what I mean? And that same, whatever, 7 years or years to come, that, yeah, the urgency is now. I mean, it's now or never. It's simple as that. And, yeah, no sugarcoating.
No sugarcoating it, according to Dak Prescott. A lot of change, but you got to keep up with what else is happening in the NFC Beast. The Eagles, man, the Eagles, talk about change. They've seen a lot of change, though. They're able to keep Darius Slay, which I think is a big deal. Also, James Bradbury staying. But, man, the number of changes they've seen because guys from that NFC Championship team want to get paid and there are opportunities elsewhere around the NFL. And also, when you got a bunch of players who performed exceedingly well, who've been part of a huge success story, who have had career years, you got to pay them. And if you're not going to pay them, somebody else is going to pay them. So Eagles, Giants, Cowboys, that NFC East division's got a lot tougher. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.